Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavitha Hawaii. In Bahrain, the determination of Formula One's governing body to press ahead with the Grand Prix has delighted the country's rulers, who portrayed as a sign that the Persian Gulf state is back to normal. Yet, it is anything but that. Are Western governments, with strong security and commercial ties with Bahrain, behind them and the sponsors? Protesters have called for days of rage prior and after Formula One. Meanwhile, Saudi-backed Bahraini forces continued human rights violations, along with UK's John Yates' threat of the use of live rounds. Much more coming up shortly on Bahrain in this edition of the News Analysis.
Attacks on protesters have escalated in the past several days now. People, however, continue to take to the streets to protest the rule of the Western-backed Al Khalifa family. Saudi-backed forces have even attacked protesters in the heart of the capital, Manama. Activists in Bahrain and all over the world have pressed F1 officials to cancel the race again this year. However, the F1 decided to go ahead with the race despite an international outcry.
It is a political event, though. No one should make any mistake about that. The government wanted Formula One here not because they're interested in cars going around a track. They brought it here because they want to use it to show the world that everything is okay in Bahrain now. And everything is not okay in Bahrain, and it's important that folks around the world who are watching this race understand the reality of what's going on here.
The franchise canceled the F1 race last year, citing unrest. Activists are also preparing for the event. They plan to hold massive protests in the capital, Manama. They are also urging all Bahrainis to march to the landmark Pearl Square, the same square that was demolished after a deadly crackdown there in March of 2011. The activists are also calling on all fans around the world to boycott the race. Protesters are angry at the UK government for not forcing the cancellation of the race. Several protests in the coming days have also been organized to take place in front of the British Embassy in Bahrain. Activists say that they are not against the race, but the government is using the race for its own PR.
We're not against Formula One because we are against Formula One. Every part of our nation likes to enjoy the sport, but we are against awarding dictators. Formula One in Bahrain has been taken as a PR for the ruling elite, the repressive dictators who are ruling the country.
Bahrain has been in a revolution since February of last year. Since then, scores of people have been killed and thousands more arrested. But the revolution in the tiny Persian Gulf island continues to gain momentum with no signs of slowing down.
Let me introduce our guest to get this news analysis going. Former lecturer at the University of Bahrain, Colin Cavell, joins us from Austin. We have head of the Justice for Bahrain, Mohammad Sadiq, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Colin Cavell, first to you. Despite what's going on in Bahrain, as I'm sure you're well aware, Formula One is having its race there. Should the sponsors and the supporters of the Grand Prix be the ones to blame, or Western governments associated to them, like the UK, be the ones to blame in this case?
Kevin, there's blame to go around to a number of folks. Definitely Bernie Ecclestone, head of the F1, is getting paid off royally. I just hope that he received his money in advance, because the people are going to speak with one voice this weekend, and they're going to make sure that Formula One does not go as planned. Western governments, of course, are responsible for supporting the Al Khalifas, and indeed there's tremendous guilt on the part of the U.S. State Department employees, on the part of the United States President, and in fact on the part of all Americans. We are appalled to be supporting a tyrannical monarchy like the Al Khalifas. If we weren't addicted to oil from the Middle East, we would not be in this position. But we are in a very bad position, and the United States acts with guilt in carrying out its support for the al-Khalifas.
Mohammed Sadiq, let's look at it in a reverse way. Do you agree with what many are saying about this Formula One, that it's actually a blessing in disguise for the revolution in Bahrain, as there's been a big coverage of protests there, with more people to become aware of the brutality, to say the least, that is unleashed on the people of Bahrain?
Good afternoon to you and to your guest. What's taking place in Bahrain, like any other big event, any event that takes place in a country that disregards any human rights is a support for that country, for that regime. Our last question to the U.S., will you be to nominate, for example, I don't know, now their enemy is Syria, would you nominate Syria to take part in the, you know, to have the World Cup in Syria, or to have Formula One in Syria? Or would you agree to have the Formula One in North Korea, for example? Then the question is going to come up. People say that this is sport and not politics, but everyone knows sport is part of any public diplomacy program that countries take these days, especially like now the Olympics, for example. UK is going to benefit from the Olympics to promote, you know, the culture, the politics, and what have you. Bahrain, the same thing now. They want to use the Formula One to promote the country, the culture, the politics, and the regime as well. So we disagree with what Formula One taking place in Bahrain, because we're saying the regime in Bahrain has not taken any serious step toward reform, toward, you know, toward the conciliation, toward accountability. So why are we giving him another chance when we haven't seen anything positive yet from the regime?
But I think we should be clear, you know, Bahrain is not Syria. There is a process of reform underway, and this government backs that reform and wants to help promote that reform.
Well, that was actually David Cameron, UK's Prime Minister, talking about how there is reform taking place there. Colin Covell, we're going to get back to that soundbite that I talked about, but this, what we just heard Prime Minister David Cameron say there, what reform is he talking about?
David Cameron is talking about pulling the wool over people's eyes. There is absolutely no reform in the Kingdom of Bahrain. It is an attempt at obfuscation. In other words, a show of lights to make people think there is something going on to change the situation, but there is absolutely no change going on. The regime is still torturing people, still jailing people, still killing people. They have no political legitimacy. They have no moral legitimacy. Indeed, the regime is dying and decaying. All it needs is a wind to blow it away, and the people of Bahrain are that wind.
I'd like to take a look at the sponsor issue here, Mohammed Sadiq. We're looking at some big companies.
Yeah.
Royal Dutch, Shell, Unilever, Total, Siemens, Red Bull, UBS News Corp, to name a few, ExxonMobil. Well, these come from different countries. There's a lot of money that is generated based on the sponsorship from the sales, and not to mention the exposure. First of all, aren't they afraid that this is going to taint their image? And second of all, is this a money thing? I mean, how was it that they were pressured? Because it appears they had to be pressured. I don't think the drivers wanted to be in Bahrain. But tell us, do you feel like this is a money incentive or related factor being pushed for the F1 organizers and then maybe the governments behind them of these different sponsors to hold it in Bahrain?
Well, yeah, of course. Ernie Ericsson, for example, he says it's all about money, really. And the sponsors are all about money. And Formula One car, it costs more than, you know, I believe wheels cost about $500,000 for each wheel. So we understand everything comes up from the money, and the drivers there are basically just doing their job, but they have to still at the same time think about the job of from a morality point of view rather than a profit. They're not going to lose. Maybe they will lose one race, but they can move to another race like last year. Last year, Formula was cancelled. They managed to recover this cost on the next race and what have you. We are saying to the Formula One drivers and their companies and the sponsors, do not regret making a decision that most of the companies regretted during South Africa apartheid, who lost millions and millions because they just basically being stubborn and they continue to fund the regime in South Africa, those, we are telling the company, do not make the same mistake those companies made mistake afterward, and later on they boycotted South Africa after years and years of oppression. But we're asking them, do make a question, the decision as soon as possible. Like, for example, today we heard Miliband, David Miliband, the opposition leader, who is actually calling for the Formula One to be cancelled, and also the shadow secretary of in Britain calling for the Formula One to be cancelled. Maybe it's late, but later than better than never.
Right. Colin Cavell, I'm going to ask the same question from you. I know in the States, if you have a celebrity that's caught just for something minor and there's a sponsor behind him, that celebrity is disqualified from representing that company. And here we have all these major corporations from around the world going through with this on an island that's being cited for human rights violations for the past year, not to mention all the different types of violations of human rights taking place.
Kaveh, it's blood money. The regime did not hold the Formula One last year, and they are spending tons of money this year to try to tell the world that things have returned to normal. And of course, they have not returned to normal. And as Mr. Sadiq pointed out, sport is part of the political family. You are my brother, Mr. Sadiq is my brother. If I'm invited over for Majbush and I see dead bodies around the house, I don't say I'm just here to eat. No, I have to make a judgment and get involved and say, what's going on here? And this is the responsibility of the drivers. This is the responsibility of the corporations. This is the responsibility of Bernie Ecclestone. They all have to take responsibility for what they are doing here, supporting a murderous, tyrannical regime.
Okay, let's go back to that soundbite that I talked about. This is the human rights who have slammed the Formula One event in Bahrain, and see what they said before I come to you, Mohammed Sadiq.
We are against awarding dictators. A Formula One in Bahrain has been taken as a PR for the ruling elite, the repressive dictators who are ruling the country.
Mohammed Sadiq, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm sure Nabil Rajab, he is, you know, well known for his activism in Bahrain. He is close to the, you know, to the ground, and he is deeply come in encounter daily with what the regime doing to his people, from, you know, tear gases. Actually, now a lot of newspapers or news broadcasts saying tear gas actually is not a tear gas. It's more than a poison gas that the government is using against its own people. We noticed a lot of children and protesters have died from inhaling that gas, which is, we find it shocking. It's a tear gas. So we're trying to investigate what gas is this. So for a regime really to tackle such issues in Bahrain with using poison gas, I believe they are way far away from reform. And that's a message to Mr. Cameron. And the other thing is, we can't forget that we have our human rights activist, Abdelhadi Khawaja, is in 72 day on hunger strike, and today he was calling his family and he's giving up on water. And we're asking the question, why this man is dying slowly and no one is paying attention to him? Why Formula One has not spoken to his family or to him or visited him before, you know, the race, just to check, you know, everything is fine or not fine, if there's a human right being violated, and check on him and check on the other 14 who are in prison. The leading opposition figures are in prison. Some of them are dying from cancer, or some of them are, you know, maltreated. Those people that should be seen, if Formula One care about their reputation, and if the other countries care about their reputation, they should have, you know, at least go and see them and visit them before making a decision.
Okay, you talked about the use of this tear gas. I'd like to focus in on another issue regarding what's very alarming. Let me introduce our guest first before I ask him this question. He's president of the Bahraini Medical Association, Osama Al-Aradi. Osama Al-Aradi, welcome. Senior Security Advisor to the Bahraini Monarchy. He's John Yates. He's the former Assistant Commissioner at the London Metropolitan Police Service. He, along with the Saudi-backed Bahraini forces, have not ruled out, as they said, the use of live rounds on protesters, were they to come out and protest. And he even said the safety of teams and spectators could not be guaranteed. Let me get this straight. Does this mean that he's saying prior that we're going to kill protesters, worse things to get out of hand, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, this is obvious that they want to warn people not to come out, a obvious escalation.
Wait. Warning people is different than saying we're going to kill them, though. For the past using live rounds means we're going to kill you, doesn't it?
Definitely. And I think, you know, this should be unacceptable to the international society. How come a man who was here a police officer in the United States go to Bahrain and tell, hey, you are protesting against the government, but we are going to face you with live bullets? You know, this language, you know where I heard it? I heard it from the Minister of Interior in Saudi Arabia. Because that's the language that they say. Anyone who comes out for a protest, peaceful, not peaceful, whatever it is, we are going to shoot him. So this is I don't know how this came out from a man who comes from the United States. He, you know, is this acceptable to the government of the United States? I don't know how.
Well, let's break this down a little bit more.
Definitely are doing it. They have been killing.
Let's break this out a little bit more. Let me ask you: do you think that the respective governments, the UK and the U.S., you mentioned Saudi Arabia, that they're maybe giving directions or that they're saying, as a suggestion, okaying and approving this?
Well, I know definitely they cannot officially say that, because here you are in a democratic country, United Kingdom and the United States. I don't think anyone can officially say, hey, you know, do that, you know, but... You know, the administration here in the United States have been closing its eyes against what's happening in Bahrain. So what does that mean? And we know also that the Al Khalifa regime is very close ally to the United States, and they will do what the Obama administration will tell them to do. So you know, I don't know. I mean, you can't pinpoint definitely why and who's telling it, but you have an American officer now in the United States, in the Bahrain, he's giving those orders. So whom to blame, really? You know, I think eyes has to be open a little bit more, and people have to say in the Obama administration, in the UK, have to clearly state their position. Come on, there are killing going on in the country. There is torture that's going on in the country for the last 1 year, and it's still ongoing. Till today, it is ongoing. So, you know, is that an approval? You know, I don't think they can say it officially, but behind the scene, you know, who knows what's happening?
Behind the scenes, Colin Covell, we hear about this $50 million arms sales of military equipment that includes tear gas, which was going to be sold, then they refrained from doing it because of some law that was brought up, I can't recall, but then they're trying to push this through to get an approval to sell it in increments. So the U.S. wants military equipment to be sold. What is the stance of the U.S. regarding Bahrain? Our guest in Detroit said they should clarify their stance, but I think an arms sale kind of speaks louder than obviously words.
Absolutely, Kaveh. The United States could not get through.
No, this is for Colin
Covell.
Go ahead.
Getting very alarmed. They could not get through Congress a $50 million arms sale. So what they did is decided to sell it in increments of less than $1 million, which does not need congressional approval. So it indicates that the United States still wants to support this murderous, tyrannical regime. And it's appalling. Most Americans would be appalled at what we're doing if they knew what was going on, which is why the Western press is not covering our support for these dictatorships, for these monarchical tyrants.
And Mohammed Sadiq, the UK government also, they have not stopped selling arms and military equipment to Bahrain, have they?
Well, we spoke to a member of the parliament and the government. They said, well, they promised that they have suspended any contract, military contract to Bahrain, apart from parts, which is for plane or fighter planes or fighter jets. But they said we have stopped selling other equipment, other military equipment to Bahrain, such as, you know, the smaller guns, shotguns, what have you. That's what they have promised us to. But we are under investigating where they are getting this tear gas and this poison gas from, which from which country. And just one point about the American supply to Bahrain. We all know that most of the companies in America are large corporate companies who are, you know, they are number one export of military from America to those countries. Those countries, you know, those companies, really, they discard any right or any human right violation. As we noticed before, when the American companies supply Saddam Hussein with gas and with chemical weapons they use against Iran, and when new Saddam Hussein was killing people, the new Saddam Hussein was torturing people, but they just discarded it. And I think they keep making the same mistake again and again, but with the turning blind eye of the human rights violation, and at the same time supply them with arms and boosting their image and reputation abroad. That's what the American government keep doing in the Middle East, and we've noticed that with Bahrain, with Saudi Arabia, with other countries who have no basic human rights, for their own citizens.
Osama Al-Araghi, it's going to be interesting on Sunday, isn't it? Are we going to see the Formula One happening? How's the media going to cover the protest that we're almost sure is going to be going on? Today, we saw protests happening. It looked like hundreds of thousands of Bahraini support. So the indications are they're going to come out in numbers. Are we going to see mention of that come Sunday when the racing cars are going around in circles?
Yeah, as you know, the government of Bahrain is trying its best to prevent coverage for those protests. They already prevented many international journalists from entering into the country. But are they going to be able to suppress those protests? No. The reason is already, as you say, 150,000 people protested today. And they announced that for the coming through 3 days, today, Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday, there are going to be daily protests. There have already been the team of the Formula One members, already some of them been affected by those clashes that the government is trying to suppress those protests. Already, India Force team, two of them have left and flooded the country because they got affected by tear gas, they affected by Molotov bombs. So they will try their best to suppress and oppress those protests, but I am sure there will be a coverage. As you know, everyone has a phone, everyone has a video camera. This will come out to the media, that the international media that will is willing and interested to cover what's going on in Bahrain. We are not looking at the Gulf countries there, like Bahrain TV, but I am sure the independent media, they will get those protests, and I am sure these will come to the cover. Now, I am sure there will be an international attention. If the government was trying to cover those protests, I'm telling that they are going to fail badly.
Okay.
Because
we're
going
to unfortunately have to end it there. We're fresh out of time. Thank you very much. I apologize. President of the Bahraini Medical Association, Osama Al-Araghi from Detroit, thank you for your statements. Former lecturer at the University of Bahrain, Colin Covell. Nice to see you, and thank you for your comments from Austin, Texas. And head of the Justice for Bahrain, Mohammed Sadiq, who was talking to us from London. Thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. And questions and suggestions, do send it to us, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Takhwai and the entire team, it's goodbye.